You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. It's great to be here this morning. You guys braved the rain in LA and you still made it to church. Good job, right? I know a lot of us, hey, if it rains in LA, you're like, I'm staying in, right? That's kind of what we're known for. But you may, even our Pepperdine students drove down the one. There were no mudslides. Welcome, Pepperdine. It's great to have you guys here. I am sporting my alma mater, UCLA. We did win, as we heard during the communion. Very, very encouraging. Taylor shared that they won their first game up at Cal. So that's just, it makes me feel good. I'm always supportive of my home team, and we are the West Side Church, and UCLA is on the West Side. I know there might be a few USC fans out there, but they're kind of West Side, but more LA. Our Lifeway sister church support. They have the UCLA USC ministry in them. So we have UCLA here. We got to support our home team. Amen. And so I love winning games, but what I like seeing more than winning sports teams is souls being saved and winning the spiritual battle out there. Amen. And we have with us a brand new sister baptized into Christ yesterday, and that's Grace Alvarez. Stand up, Grace. We want to welcome you. Really encouraged how God has worked in her life and brought her to us. And what a victory when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Amen. I want us to set our heart today. We're going to be diving into a brand new series entitled Undivided. It's a sermon series from the book of James. And we've been studying all year what's known as the Shema. The Shema is this prayer. It begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." But then it goes on and says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And we are trying to answer that question, how do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength? That is the calling that we've committed to. This year, our theme is love the Lord your God. And we're living out this Shema. And the book of James is a very practical book in the Bible. It's not really a narrative, a story. It's sort of like the book of Proverbs moved into the New Testament from James, the physical brother of Jesus, which is quite remarkable. And we did a little highlight on who James is at our midweek service. And last Sunday, some of our small groups that met for house church did a lesson on who James is. What's amazing as you begin, and by the way, go ahead and open up your Bible or turn in on your phone, scroll down to James chapter 1. We're going to be completely in James chapter 1 today. And we want to dig in there. And the title of today's sermon is Don't Be Double-Minded. And we're going to find this this word in this text in James chapter 1. And that's a good thing. Don't be double-minded. Last week, I was at the college service up in the beach, up in Pepperdine, right across the street from Pepperdine, what they call Ralph's Beach, which shouldn't be called Ralph's Beach because on Google Maps it has other names, but apparently you have to drive by Ralph's to get there, so that's why they call it that. Anyway, Rick Meckemson did a sermon for the campus, and he talked a lot about how doubting is normal, and it's a normal part of our journey, and that is true. But we're going to read today how James is saying you shouldn't doubt. If you're doubting, you're double-minded. And we're going to dig a little more deeply into what he's saying. And I'll be honest, I can talk a good game about having a lot of faith. And I do believe God wants to do great things in your personal life. And I'm not talking a good game about that. I'm telling what I know and have seen have happened. However, I have doubts as well. Like Rick said, it's normal to have doubts. I can preach about trusting, hey, God's going to come through and no problem. We're going to see things happen the way we want. One of the big things we just finished as a congregation is our annual season of special missions giving. We as a church have for over, 35 years supported the world mission. And we as a West Side church have helped plant and stabilize and really strengthen the churches in the Middle East, in Lebanon, in Amman, Jordan, in Egypt, in the Gulf states over there. We've supported those for many, many, many years. And so every summer, we do a special missions offering in line with the calling of making disciples of all nations, right? We're a part of a fellowship that's worldwide. We have been to these places. Many of us have traveled. So we care about fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we give a, we put ourselves out there. We give a lot. We make a big commitment to give. And this year our goal was $110,000 to give to the World Missions Offering and to our special missions, we call it. Because sometimes we keep some of it local for special projects because we're on the mission local as well. We're on the mission here to change well over 1 million people who don't know Jesus on the west side of Los Angeles. Anyway, our goal was very big, and I kept saying, oh, we're going to make it. We've made it every year. But I'll confess, I had a lot of doubts. We've had a lot of transitions. People have moved around. People have moved out. We've seen a lot of transitions, and that's the nature of the west side of Los Angeles. People move around quite a bit. But I'm here to tell you, God came through in spite of some of my doubts. You might not have, maybe you sensed I had some doubts, but you didn't have doubts. But we came through and exceeded our special missions goal. We gave over 114,000. A congregation. So I just want to say thank you for that. We all can have doubts. And James is going to write directly about the tensions that we face in life and how they can help us grow. That we oftentimes will have hard lives. And tension comes into our life. And that then reveals a little bit where our heart is at. Last 2 weeks ago, I talked about how you get stronger when you face trials of many kinds. And that's the first part of the text, right? He says, if you read it there, I don't have the NIV version, but he says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Well, like Eugene Peterson, he wrote what's known as the Message Bible, which you can find online for free. It's pretty awesome. And you can find it in your little Bible app. They have it there. And I like how he says it. He says, under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So we are to consider it pure joy when we go through hard times. And we all go through hard times, often, on many different levels. And these hard times, the pressure, will reveal where your faith's at. Now also, when you remain steadfast and you persevere, he says, that produces maturity, right? We get stronger when we persevere. See, pressure doesn't always, is not just designed to make us grow, it's designed to reveal, right? It helps us be revealed. How do we act in these kinds of situations? When pressure comes, are there competing voices that say, trust God? Or a voice that says, no, take control. Do it your way. Control the situation. Do we, like Hunter mentioned, do we just want more information or do we simply want to obey? Do we want to protect ourselves? Or will we simply wait for God to show us his plan or do we force it? So often it's not going the way we want and we force the situation. These things reveal our nature and our faith and our character, and God wants those to develop. And so certainly the book of James talks about how perseverance will make us mature. And the goal overall is wholeness. We want to grow into wholeness as individuals, as sons and daughters of God. And God can use what presses us to expose the places where our hearts are possibly a little bit double-minded, where we're split. He wants us to be completely undivided in our devotion and faithfulness to him. Amen. As you go on in the text, I want to read this. I love this part. As you read on down in James, in verse 5, it says, in the NIV, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I like that. The Message version simply says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. All right, you can look at that in the Message version, right? He says, and I thought, oh, I like that. I know I want wisdom, but a lot of times I just don't know what I'm doing. You ever been there? You're like, I'm not sure what to do on this situation, right? I don't know where to go with this. How should this meeting go? What should our main focus be? What's the plan in this family situation? How do we handle this money situation that there doesn't seem to be any solution at hand? Health challenges come. We get a diagnosis. Pray for me. I have had high blood pressure lately. I don't want that. So I'm asking God, what do I do? I know what the doctors are going to tell me. Take some medicine. And I will if I need to. But I want to solve it hopefully in an all-natural way. Right? We all have things that are going on. Sometimes our children are struggling. Sometimes we have a romantic relationship that has gone south, and we can't figure out how to manage this situation. We fit into the scripture. I don't know what to do. And so I love how it's written there in the Message version. It says, pray to the Father. He loves to help. He wants to help you. He desires to help you. He's interested in helping you. Amen. And so lately I've been praying this prayer, Father, help the Westside Church flourish. And what do I mean by that? I want to see God do amazing things, and he has done, right? He overcomes our doubts. He has plans for this church. This city needs the Westside Church. You are needed. You know, I'm sure Grace Alvarez could say, my life has changed dramatically. I know lots of people are studying the Bible to learn how to be disciples of Jesus. And we're not the only church. There are many that are doing God's work. But let me tell you, we are desperately needed. The churches throughout Los Angeles need to flourish. Now, recently, Carrie and I just returned from, we get to go to this meeting that we have once a month. It's called the Ministry Leadership Council, and it's part of the Los Angeles Churches of Christ, and Westside's a part of that, and we're on that Ministry Leadership Council. And there are always challenges. As you're, you know, there's 22 worship centers and 9 regional churches combined together to form the LA Churches of Christ, of which the West Side is a big, significant part of. And things aren't always going the way you'd like. You know, there's challenges far and there's challenges near. And so sometimes I don't know what to do. I had to be the point guy for the meeting yesterday because Rafael Lua, who leads our Lifeway Church, has normally been like our facilitator and point guy, and he's on sabbatical. Pray for him. So I was like, all right, I'll step up. I'll be the point guy. But I'll be honest. I was like, what do we do? There's a lot of things going on. I don't know what to do. So when I read this verse, I thought, this is the answer. You know, I'm just going to ask God. He loves to help. And you know what? The meeting went awesome. There are many things to pray about, but there's unity, there's teamwork, there's challenges we're working through, and you're a part of a fellowship of churches that is making a difference throughout the whole metropolitan Los Angeles area. Amen? Let's go to God right now. I just want to pray this prayer again and ask God to keep helping us. Father in heaven, we come to you now and we just ask you, since you like to help us, you want to help us, and when we don't know what to do in our individual lives, with health, with faith, with relationships, you can guide us. And Father, we ask the prayer for flourishing life, faithful flourishing on the west side of Los Angeles, here in the West Side Church, in our youth ministries, God, with our junior high and teens, with our campus ministries, Father. Father, with our single professionals, with our marrieds, with, Father, our albos, with all the parts of our ministry, we ask for you to enable us to flourish and be with not only our church, God, but other churches throughout the Los Angeles metropolitan area, that they would flourish and bring many into your kingdom. Help people see the answers to the questions that they don't know the answer to. Give them the strength to follow through and be obedient. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be praying for these things. We want your local family group to flourish. We want every segment of our church to flourish. We want the youth to flourish. When you see youth, when you see a lot of college students, when you see people that are young, and you see a multi-generational, multi-racial church, you can bet the Holy Spirit is working, because he cares about a person from the day they're born to the day they pass on. And let me tell you, he cares about your life, and he wants us all to flourish. Amen. And God has helped us flourish. A couple things. I wrote down a couple things in the prayers of my life that have helped me see God does answer when I'm hurting. I went through a period of 15 years of chronic back pain. 15 years. And if you've ever been in that place where you have chronic pain, it's tough. It's a tough thing. I went to doctor after doctor after doctor, chiropractors, had all kinds of health things, and wasn't sure what to do. And 7 years ago, I went into the hospital. And I came out of the hospital. I know most of you were praying for me. By a hand of God, I ended up not having a surgery. They were going to do a massive surgery on my back. I had no surgery. And then about a month and a half later, my back pain was gone. And I have not had back pain now in 8 years. Amen. And God, what he did is he healed me, but it wasn't just a miracle. It was he brought the right information the right situation into my heart and my mind so I could respond to it correctly. He brought the answers to me. And I think he does that. He works with our medical world, but he works through knowledge that's out there. He works through relationships. Don't settle. If you're in a place that you don't think can be fixed, ask God. He delights to help you. And sometimes the answer will come in a way you just never imagined. Amen. And if you have back pain, I always say, please come see me. I have a whole story more to tell you. Amen. You know, we had prayed as a congregation specifically, we had not been able to solve having the campus ministry, having new ministry. We had, we've had ministers over the years, but we've always had a situation where we didn't have, you know, a guy and a girl at the same time ready to go to lead our, help serve at our campus ministry. It had been quite a long time. We've been praying for solutions. And, you know, really, we knew this coming fall, we're like, we want a solution by the fall. Well, guess what happened, right? Maddie and Connor applied in the spring and summer, and the students love them. They arrived. They are on site. They are here helping, serving the camp. God answers prayers, and I already mentioned how he answered the prayers that many of you lifted up that we would hit special missions, and we hit it. These are just a couple practical things, but God hears you when you don't know what to do. He wants to help. Amen? But he goes on in the text, and he says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You know, the message describes that person as adrift, as somebody who is keeping all their options open, somebody who is actually double-minded, right? We become double-minded because we're not believing, we're not trusting completely. We're not all in. And I like how the Message version says, you're keeping your options open. And sometimes when you're keeping your options open, it's to your detriment. You think that's a good idea, but it's not, right? Instead of saying, God, I trust you, we're going, you know, but maybe there's another solution. You know, I want your will, God, unless I don't like your will. Unless it doesn't go the way I want, right? God, I will obey as long as obedience isn't too costly. God, your values are true unless the culture tells me something a little bit more attractive. God, you are Lord, Lord of my life, but I get to do what I want. I have veto power. So often we can be double-minded, right? And here's the thing. God does not demand that you never have questions, right? Faithful people had questions. The issue is, who has your heart? Who has your heart? We don't want to be double-minded people. We want to be people focused. We want to be people that understand, God, you're in charge. And my trust is not divided. My values aren't divided. My priorities aren't divided. My desires aren't divided. See, a wave moves wherever outside forces push it. Culture will push us in one direction. Do we simply move with culture, with our moral stance, with our stance on how, and I've done sermons on this, you know, the Bible has a lot of strong stances. Do we simply cave to cultural norms, or do we hold to the biblical ethic in sexuality? Do we hold to the biblical ethic in how to even go about dating and finding a future mate? Do we hold to the biblical ethic? We can't let culture push us left or push us right. You know, emotions oftentimes push us one way, and we cave into them. We move because of those things. Wholehearted faith says, beneath me is a trust that does not move. I may not know what God will do, but I have settled on who God is. Let's not be double-minded as a church, okay? Let's be focused. Let's be focused on the right things, right? Let's be focused on being clear about what we need to do. As we go on in the text, it says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. He goes on after this idea of not being double-minded, and he immediately starts talking about the poor and the rich, right? And this is an interesting thing. Why is he talking about the poor and the rich in this situation? And I think the reason is because we can get double-minded about our value system, even in the church, right? right? In the, you know, we all know in God's kingdom, we can't show favoritism. In God's economy of who's on the top sort of the kingdom chart of greatness, it's those who serve. It's those who are last, right? The least. You know, the greatest shall be the servant of all. But it's so easy for us to flip-flop it even in the church. And that's what I think James is talking about. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. God sees you amazingly if you feel like your life is completely wrecked and you own it. You admit, I had nothing. I got no money. I just got out of drug addiction. All I know is I need God. And God's like, all right, you're top of the list. You're one of my spiritual leaders. Because that's how the economy that God lives in, right? That's his value system. Whereas it's so easy for us when we have a beautiful car and we're making a nice income in LA, all our bills are paid. We have a lot of money. Thank you for those that have a lot of money who gave to special. It is a blessing and God wants you to keep giving. Amen. But let me tell you something. You're not higher on the totem pole because you gave more money to special. You just simply are not. That's not how God's value system works, right? Whose value system defines your life? Is it status and money? Visibility and influence? It's not. It's upside down in God's kingdom. And I know even in here, even as a church leader, it's very easy for us. That's why it's talked about. Hey, don't just give all your attention to the people who look like they have life going well. I was in a Bible study a little earlier, and we were talking to a man who's learning to become a disciple. And we were talking about, you know, it's not the wealthy who are at the top. It's who God sees have a humble heart. Right? It's who God sees are willing to be low, be broken, be submissive. As those that realize, hey, I have nothing outside of you. That's the value system you need to desire. Amen? It's different. And Jesus says, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. God should define your success. But I want us to do a little heart check here. Is that how we value ourselves? And I know as you go through life, you kind of compare yourself with other people at your stage. I talked to a lot of the single professionals like, well, I'm 27 and, you know, I'm comparing myself to my old, you know, high school, you know, friends who are now 27. And we start feeling like we haven't attained what we should attain. But let me tell you, if you make Jesus Lord of your life, God does not care how big your bank account is or how successful your career path has been. You make him Lord of your life and your values are right. And you can say, amen. What I'm interested in is being focused on the things that change eternity. Amen, church. Singles out there, I know we have our singles conference. A number of people are out there right now. They're out in Baltimore. But do not get your self-esteem based upon how you're matching up in American culture. Get your self-esteem from the value system of God. Wealth fades like a wildflower. It's here today and gone tomorrow. You know, as you go on in the text, he says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. So what is it that messes up our life? You know, here's the thing. The trials come. We got to get through our trials and difficulties. But, you know, here's the thing. When bad stuff happens and it has to do with our own sins that we give into, it's not God's fault. Unfortunately, a lot of times we think, God, why'd you allow that temptation into my life? We want to blame God. This scripture says point blank, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. But see, God, he's got all the good. And we're the source of all the bad. And you might look across the globe and go, wow, look at all the calamity that happens. And it makes us question. Now, we've seen some great calamity, right? Our hearts and prayers are with the people in Nepal with that great calamity that happened 2 weeks ago. That was challenging. And when these things happen, we can question, you know, God, is your goodness there? But let me tell you, if people are faithful to God, if we're really faithful to God, time and chance will happen to us all, right? And so world calamities will come, and they are painful for those who are left. But for those who are faithful to God, you know, you're going to die at maybe 102 or maybe at 22. You don't know. We live in a world that has a natural order of events. There's been no promise that natural calamity won't happen, that a hurricane won't hit. Those things, God set the world in order like a big clock. And it has great order and it does things. And there is time and chance. But we have responsibility for where our soul is at. where our faithfulness is at. We can't control all these outside things, but we can control our choices and our own faith. Amen? And we can't blame God when temptation comes. What you can do is set your mind on the right things, right? The book of Romans talks about how where your mindset is at, that's what you're going to start desiring, right? Like it says here, wherever your desires are, they come from where you set your mind. And if you're going to give in to sexual sin that's going to corrupt your life, it's because you're letting your mind think about it a little bit too much, right? If you're going to give in to these false value systems, you're double-minded in the things that bring you value, it's going to lead to temptations that damage your soul. Amen? Pay attention to your desires. See, what God desires is good stuff, right? What God desires is all the good. There's nothing deceitful. He says, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. We can't be two-faced. We can't be fickle because God is not two-faced. God is not deceitful. God is not fickle. God is undivided, right? When evil comes, let me tell you, it usually comes from humans. Other humans, circumstances, it comes from our own heart. But when good things come, you got to give credit to God. You got to honor him. And you don't want to be double-minded as you get into the challenges of life. See, the Spirit, what does it desire? See, you got to ask yourself, what do you desire versus what does the Spirit desire? The Spirit desires love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. But what do we desire? We desire status, satisfaction, self-approval, right? Self-glorification. We desire fulfilling of our lusts and desires. And when we think about our desires that are carnal more than what God's desires are, it leads us into trouble. It makes us double-minded. Church, let's not be double-minded. And so as we land the plane today, I want us to be thinking, are you double-minded? Where have you been double-minded? Has there been anything in your mind or heart that you've not been thinking in a focused way? Have you kept two options open in your life? And I think about, you know, in my own life, an example is whenever Karen and I have to buy a car, she's always the really decisive one. And what I do is I like to keep all my options open. And so I remember this one year, you know, my son had grown up to like 6'5". He was still in high school and we needed a new car. I think ours had, you know, it just, you know, it died. And so I was looking around for the most economical car with gas mileage. And I ended up like, we found out, okay, the VW Passat has the highest gas mileage. Come to find out later, it was because the VW had lied and they ended up paying us for that car, which is good because they had broken some rules. But we found this awesome car. We went and test drove it. And, you know, we really liked it. It fit my son's, you know, 6'5" frame, no problem. And I was like, okay, honey. And we were way down in like Orange County and we lived at the time in the Inland Empire. And we were thinking about it. I was like, oh, I don't know. And Karen's like, this is the one we want, for sure. I know it. It fits all the things you said. You told me already. You thought through everything. This fits. And I'm like, yeah, but I got to think about it for another day. So I drove home. Now, I will say, it's good to not let the car guy get you. So if you drive off the lot, they'll go the lowest, right? If you drive off, you'll know the lowest price. So I drove off. I went home. I slept on it. And guess what happened? I drove back the next day and bought that exact car. And it happened every time with Kara. She's like, this is the one. She was clear. She knew exactly what she wanted. Now, I'm not saying buying a car, you shouldn't be patient. She knew the things that I knew, but it was harder for me to be decisive. The scary thing is we can do that so often with really significant spiritual things in our life. We're not decisive even when God has told us, go this way. So today, ask yourself the question, have you been double-minded? Is there a certain place in your life that you've been double-minded, where you've not been focused on the one thing that you know God is telling you to do with your purity, something you need to get out of your life so your sexual purity is what you want it to be? Have you been double-minded about a relationship that you're toying with, but you kind of know it's not going to work because the person's not fully devoted to God the way you know, the way you are, and you're sort of hoping it goes the way you want, but you're a little double-minded about it? Have you been worried so much about your financial situation that you're just not giving your life up to God? Don't be double-minded. Choose God. He has a great plan for every one of us. And so I want to close out with a final prayer. I want to ask that each of us ask this question. God, make us whole. When we do not know what to do, we're going to ask you. Let's close out right now. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for the book of James that motivates us to not be double-minded, to trust you in every way. Father, make us whole, completely undivided in our devotion, even through trial and difficulty. Help us, Father, to focus on your word as the guide of our life. Help us, God, to choose things that are clearly from you, not from our culture. Father, when we do not know what to do, help us to ask you and not doubt, Father, but to trust, to believe, to know that you will bring us to clarity. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.